Our scripture reading this morning is 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Text for the sermon this morning is the beginning of this first verse of this chapter. Let's read together the word of God at 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. So far we read the inspired Word of God. Let's read together just the first half of that first verse of the chapter. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is much talk today in the church world about the love of God. In these last days of apostasy, it shouldn't surprise us that much of what is said concerning the love of God is false. Much of the church world today takes what is the most well-known passage in the Bible and altogether corrupts it. John 3, verse 16, and uses that word, "For God so loved the world," to say that the love of God is upon every man here on this earth. It shouldn't surprise us as a church of Jesus Christ in these last days that so much of what is said concerning the love of God is not in harmony with the truth of God's Word. But beloved, that shouldn't silence us concerning the love of God. We shouldn't shy away from speaking about God's love and hearing about God's love. Obviously, that's the case. Just because the church world corrupts the understanding of the nature of God's love makes us all the more in need of hearing about God's love. We need to understand, as the Church of Jesus Christ today, all about the nature of God's love. What is the gospel but this, the love of God? The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ that comes to the church throughout the ages, very simply, is this: God loves you. God loves you in Jesus Christ. And God promises to do good to those whom He loves in the way of saving them in Jesus Christ. We need to behold the nature, the profound nature of the love of God. We need to believe it and hear it, as we do in the gospel this morning as it is preached. And we need to see it and experience it as we do in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper this morning. Sermon this morning from this first verse of 1 John 3 teaches us about the profound love of God. Let's use that as our theme this morning. We notice in the first place the nature of God's love. In the second place, let's see the purpose of that love as it is expressed in this passage. And then in the third place, let's briefly see the beholding of God's love. The profound love of God. The nature, purpose, and beholding of God's love. Focus of the passage, per the introduction, obviously, is on the love of God. That really is the focus of the entire epistle of 1 John. 1 John has in it that most profound statement, God is love. And throughout the entire epistle of 1 John, we read about God's love for us and what must follow from that, which is our love for God and our love for one another, and all of that as the expression of the work of God in us and the sign that the love of God is upon us as His children. So we focus this morning on God's love. God's love is His delight in and determination to do good to the objects of His love, the fruit of which is being brought into this bond, this union of fellowship with God. Love is delight in one another. We love each other. We delight in each other. But the focus of love, especially from this word that's used in the passage, is on the determination to do good to the objects of love. When we truly love someone, patterning that love after God's love, we desire that person's good. And that's the love of God for His children. If God's love is on someone, it means that He is going to work for that person's good. And the fruit of that love, which is the ultimate good, is being brought into this bond, this union with God, which is nothing less than the covenant life of fellowship that we have with God. Colossians 3:14 speaks of love as the bond of perfectness. And that's the fruit of the delight that God has in us and His determination to do good to us. The focus of 1 John 3, verse 1, is on the manner of that love. Notice that in the passage, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." And so to understand this passage, we need to understand what that word "manner" is referring to. That word "manner" literally refers to the nature or the quality of that love. A little bit different than what we first think of when we hear the word "manner." Manner usually has to do with how something is done. The word "manner" here emphasizes quality or nature. And that's why the first point of the sermon is the nature of God's love. What John wants us to do, according to this passage, is not just talk generally about God's love. Not just look at wrong views of love and talk about them. What he wants us to do is behold the nature, the quality, the characteristics of the love of God. He wants us to see the profound nature of the love of God. So we need to do more than just state what the love of God is or talk generally about the love of God. We need to go deeper than that and see truly what God's love is all about. And that's what we have opportunity to do with a text like this for a few minutes this morning. Need to give some substance, as we have it in this passage, to the nature of God's love. God's love, in the first place, is a sovereign love. That the love of God is sovereign means that God, because He is God, determines upon whom He sets His love. You and I do not and cannot determine whether or not the love of God will be upon us. That's the false gospel. That's the gospel that says that you need to love God, and because you love God, then in return, God will love you. Which is so striking because it's in direct contradiction to a very verse that's found in 1 John, which indicates that because God loved you first, you in return love God. What is that but the sovereignty of the love of God? So whenever you talk about the love of God and when you want to describe that love, as we need to do in a passage like this, it needs to start there. That God's love is sovereign. He alone, and He did this in eternity, in His good pleasure said, "I'm going to love these people, His elect, those whom He gives to the Lord Jesus Christ." That's the only way that it can be. And we know that this morning as those who have examined ourselves in this past week. When we truly examine ourselves, and when we do that while thinking about the love of God, the only conclusion to which we come is this, that I don't love God. And I am not worthy of this love of God. And therefore, it has to be God entirely who says, "I love you and I'm going to do good to you." So that in the first place this morning, when we look at the nature of God's love, it's a sovereign love. In the second place, we need to see that this love of God spoken of in this passage, in light of the entire book of 1 John, is a love that is always revealed in Jesus Christ. We read that, for example, in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. "In this was manifested, revealed, the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." And then the verse that I just referred to a moment ago, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The nature of God's love is always that it is seen in Jesus Christ. go back to what love is. Love is delight in one another, and love is the determination to do good to the objects of your love. This is the expression of God doing good to us as His people, a good which is salvation. He sent Jesus to die on that cross to bring us to that ultimate good of life with Him. So the nature of God's love is always that it's sovereign and that it's in Jesus Christ. We can see in the third place regarding the nature of God's love, and this is stated explicitly in the passage, that it is a love that is bestowed upon us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. In other words, it's a love that He has given to us. Now, the idea of this verse, this verb, is a present state that we experience right now that is the result of something that has happened in the past. That's what the type of verb that is used here emphasizes. A present state of being as a result of something done in the past. And so the emphasis is that we experience this. He bestows it upon us. It's not something in the future for us, but right now, as the children of God, God gives to us His love, and we know that and experience it, all of which is based as a result of something that took place in the past. In eternity, with that determination to love us that we talked about, but especially the cross. The cross is the finished work of Jesus Christ, and because Christ finished that work on the cross, all throughout time and history, for all of God's children, He gives that love to us. That's what true love is, after all. If we truly love someone, we bestow that love upon that person, husbands and wives, or parents with children. Is it really true love when you say to your spouse, "I love you," but that's all you do with respect to your love for him or her? It's just a statement every once in a while, "I love you," but then nothing that you say beyond that, nothing that you do beyond that, indicates in any way that you as a husband or a wife love your spouse. True love is given, shown, demonstrated, talked about in all that you do with your spouse. And that's the love of God for us right now. Based upon the cross, the finished work of Jesus, He bestows that upon us in such a way that we know it and experience it. That's what the preaching of the gospel is. Week by week by week, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, we hear, not always explicitly, but in the preaching of the Word and in the cross of Jesus Christ, God's Word to us, "I love you." And then all throughout our lives, especially when we go through those difficulties and we experience the sustaining grace of God, what is that but the bestowing upon us of the love of God? John says to us, inspired by the Spirit, "Behold, the profound nature of the love of God." That love of God, which is profound, has a purpose. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." That indicates purpose. Hold this profound love that God has for us. And that love has this purpose, that by the Father we might be called the sons of God. Now understand that there are all sorts of purposes to God's love that He has given to us. One of the purposes of God's love is obviously the purpose of everything that He does, which is the glory of His name. One of the purposes of God's love, as I talked about earlier, is that so that we in return might love God. One of the purposes of God's love for us is that we might love one another. Huge theme in the book of 1 John. One of the purposes of God's love is that we might go forth as those who are holy, sanctified, in the midst of a very wicked world. And maybe even through that, God uses that witness to bring others into the church. All sorts of purposes of the love of God. This passage emphasizes this particular purpose of God's love. The profound love of God has as its purpose God saying with respect to us, "You are my sons." Literally there, it's children. That we should be called the children of God. We're the children of God, meaning we're in the family of God. It's amazing to think that we are brought into the very family of God. When He looks at us, He sees us as His children. Because of the work of Jesus Christ. But the emphasis of this passage is on being called the children of God. Something different there. Something highlighted in that word called. It's the declaration of God with respect to us. He says this, "You are my children." What that emphasizes is the legal aspect to our sonship. It's like when we look at our children. We see our child, and when we see them, we can say something concerning them. What we say concerning them is, "That's my son. That's my daughter. They're not anybody else's. They can't be anybody else's. This is the child that God has given to me, and legally they are mine, and no one else has a right to them as their children." Beloved, that's what God says concerning us. He calls us His children. He makes this declaration based upon the work of Jesus Christ that you are my children. That's our justification. That day after day after day, despite our sinfulness, we can know and believe that God calls us our children. And the fruit of that, as he points out in verse 2, is that we are actually, therefore, His children. But the emphasis here is on that declaration of God, "This is my son. This is my daughter. No one else, therefore, has a right to them. They are mine and in my family." That's the purpose now of this profound love that we talked about. What did we say about the profound nature of the love of God? We said that it's sovereign. We said that God alone determines upon whom He is going to set His love. Beloved, it has to be sovereign. The only way that God will ever say, with respect to us, "You are my children," is if in eternity God said, "I'm going to make them my children." If God did in His sovereignty, did not say, "These are the ones upon whom I'm going to set my love," it could never be said by Him that they are my children. What did we say in the second place about the nature of God's love? We said that it was revealed in Jesus Christ, and especially the cross of Jesus Christ. How is it the case that we can be brought into the family of God and be numbered among God's children? Something had to be done for that. We are not that by nature. It's impossible for us to be that by nature. God cannot bring into His family and be one with those who are sinners and defiled and unrighteous. And so the nature of God's love is that it's revealed in Jesus, and especially the cross of Jesus Christ. And because of that cross, which is really the basis of this declaration, because the work was accomplished fully, God can say and must say, because all of our sins are wiped away, these are my children that I love in Jesus Christ. And we said about the nature of that love, that it is bestowed upon us. It's given to us. And now this looks at it from our point of view, that we should be called the sons of God. The only way that we can hear that is if that love of God is upon us. And beloved, God bestows it upon us in such a way that day by day we hear in our hearts that declaration, "You are my children." The end of the passage in chapter 3 says, "And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us." That's the way in which God bestows His love upon us, through His Spirit that's in our hearts. And because that Spirit is in our hearts, we hear God speak to us, in the preaching of the gospel especially, this declaration that we are called children of God. The love of God, which is sovereign in Jesus Christ and bestowed upon us, has as its purpose, one of the many purposes, that God says to us, "You are my children. I love you." And now what John says to us this morning is, behold that love. He starts out emphatically in chapter 3, behold this great, profound love of God, which has as its purpose that you are called the children of God. He wants us to see it. And that's what we do in the preaching of the gospel. And that's the word to you as a congregation this morning. See the profound nature of God's love as it's proclaimed to us in the preaching of the word. See it in such a way that you believe it. See it in such a way that you meditate upon it. See it in such a way that you go forth day by day looking this God who loves us in Jesus Christ. Behold, God says to us, the profound nature of the love of God. We behold it in the preaching of the gospel. We also behold it in a special way this morning in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We behold it by hearing the gospel preached. We behold it also in seeing and experiencing through eating and drinking bread and wine. And that's the word to us this morning as a congregation as well, as we soon will partake of communion. As we do this, and as we'll read in the form, we don't do this just going outwardly through the motions. But as we partake of communion this morning, we need to do so in light of this passage, that by faith we behold in the sacrament the profound love of God revealed in Jesus Christ. And may God use, therefore, the preaching concerning this love of God and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper in such a way that we all the more are assured of this declaration that He makes. He calls us His children. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we pray now for Thy blessing upon us as we partake of communion this morning. We thank Thee that we can first hear the gospel, hear the word concerning Thy love for us in Jesus. And we pray now too that we may experience that in the partaking of communion. Bless us as we do this. Give us a spiritual mindedness while we do this, that we think about, especially this, Thy profound love for us in Jesus. We pray these things in His name alone. Amen.